We'll turn in our Bibles once again to John chapter 9. We're considering the plight of a blind man. A man who hadn't saw from his birth. And yet the Saviour comes across his pathway. He performs a miracle. And this man who was blind, he now sees. You know, this salvation is a miracle of God. See, each one of you sitting here tonight that's saved, you're a living miracle, a testimony to the miracle of God. Just turn in the scriptures, John chapter 9 and the verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which might or see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth." The word of God open. Let's just seek the Lord in prayer, please. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of thy word, that heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of thy word, it giveth light. We pray, Lord, that men and women, boys and girls, will hear thy word this night. They'll not only be hearers, they'll be doers. We thank you, Lord, for the miracle in this man's life. How he was blind, and yet now he could see. We thank you, Lord, it was a touch from the Saviour. Realise, O God, even as this man was born blind, that each one of us was born blind in darkness and our sin, captivated by Satan at his will. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's saved, that's been brought out of darkness into thy marvellous light. O God, we pray that you'd help us to rejoice in the God of our salvation. We think of those who are still in their sin. Oh God, we don't want to see them left and alone. We want to see them over there. Oh God, we pray that thou wouldst give deciding grace, that thou wouldst take the scales from off the eyes. No God, that they would behold Christ as they'd never seen him before. No God, that they would say, "He is my Saviour and he is my friend." We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into thy banqueting house. Thy banner over us is love. No God, those who are unsaved, may they experience that too. Bless us, Lord, now. Help us to decrease, that thou wouldst increase. Fill us with thy Spirit. For in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We've turned to the Gospel of John. John is different from the other three synoptic Gospels. They give an account of the Lord's life on earth. But as you go through the book of John, it becomes very, very apparent that the book is different. Yes, it records the miracles of the Saviour, but as you consider the book of John, in every chapter you'll see in view the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. His deity is there to be seen. He's not just a man, although he was man, perfect man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, but he was a God-man. Two natures, yet one person forever. And as you go through the book of John, you'll see the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God and flesh. One man, God and man, one person forever. As you study the Word of God and study John, you look for the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see there in verse 6, or in verse 5, what he says. He declares of himself there in verse 5, "I am the light of the world." There's the seven great I Ams, but here in this chapter, the Saviour describes himself as the light of the world. Why does the world need light? It becomes obvious. Why do we put on lights at night? Why do we see, when we see the first sign of darkness, we reach for the switch, we flick it on? In the olden days, we'd have lit a match and put the candle on. What was it? When there was darkness, we wanted light. You see, light, it dispels the darkness. See, light and darkness, they can't coexist. And even if the light diminishes to just a glimmer, it still dispels the darkness. That's why Jesus is the light of the world. You see, the world is in darkness, spiritual darkness. It's blind to the things of God. It needs the light of the glorious gospel. It needs the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis, the Word of God reminds us that God created light. Let there be light. God, in His wisdom, in His power, created light. He made light. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 16. We'll see where God dwells. God dwells in light. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. You see those words, nor can see. Even though God dwelleth in light, it says there, nor man can see. We see right away the inability of man. You see, God is a revealed religion. He reveals to men and women the Lord Jesus Christ. Man of his own ability can never see himself. God, in his wisdom and his power, through his Spirit, reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. It's a revealed religion. May the Spirit of God unsaved reveal the Saviour to you tonight, that you, sinner, dwelling in darkness, would see the light of the world, that you would see the Lord Jesus Christ. So God not only created light, he not only dwells in light, but as I said earlier on, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was the light. He dispels the darkness of sin. Sinner, may the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine into your soul this night. May you be like Fanny Crosby. Even though she was blind, spiritually she found the Saviour. And oh, what a transgression these Pharisees were guilty of. They could see, but they persisted and were determined to go on in their darkness. You know, it was only recently that it really come across to my mind how that darkness brings fear. It brings terror. Think of a little child. You take them up to their bedroom in the darkness, and their first cry is, "Turn on the light." There's a terror in the darkness. They don't want the darkness. They want the light. And surely it reminds us of the terror of hell. A place, the Scriptures reminds us, of outer darkness. Who wants to be in outer darkness? Nobody does. There's a terror. There's a fear of being in darkness. Oh, that you would see the light of the Saviour. But you know all that required for that child to pacify their concern, their angst, their worry, to switch on the light. Oh, that the light, you would see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this night. In our house, in our bedroom, we've got what's called blackouts. I know they were used in the war years ago to stop the light coming from the house, that it might give the enemy an opportunity. But we've blackouts in one of our rooms. You know, you can go into that room, you pull the curtains at day or night, and the room's still in complete darkness. Oh yes, during the day the light's still there on the outside, but with those blinds pulled, the blackout's there, no light can get into the room, and it sits in darkness. Is that not like a picture of this blind man? Is that not a picture of the sinner? Oh yes, for this blind man, day followed night. The sun rose every morning. He could feel its heat. He could feel the heat of the sun upon him, but he could never experience its light. He could never see the beautiful creation that God had made. Why? Because he was blind. He remained in darkness. Because he's in darkness doesn't mean that light doesn't exist. young person, older person in your sin, spiritually in darkness, spiritually away from God, the light of the gospel still exists. Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. You mightn't be able to see it because it takes a miracle of God, but it still exists. And you need to make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to possess the light. Here's a man. He's been blind. And the scriptures tells us he's been blind from birth. Is that not a picture of the human race, the fallen human race, in darkness from birth? Each one of us were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were children of darkness, away from God. We needed the light of the glorious gospel. But there was something else particular to this man. He couldn't make himself see. He was impotent. He was powerless to make himself see. And yet the Saviour comes across his pathway. The Saviour takes clay. He spits upon it. And then he rubs it in the man's eyes. He tells him to go to the pool of Siloam. Wash his eyes. Do you know what? There was a miracle. That man who was blind could now see. I said earlier on, each one that's saved is a miracle. We were in darkness, blindness, away from God, impotent. There was nothing that we could do by ourselves. We needed a miracle. And the Spirit of God came, took the scales from off our eyes, opened the blackouts of our minds, that we might behold Christ, the light of the world. Unsaved, we need the Spirit of God to come and work in your heart, to work in your mind, to open your darkened eyes, to take the scales from off your eyes, that you might see the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that day there was a miracle. There was a blind man that could see, blind from birth. But I'm sure there was rejoicing in his heart the day that he was able to look upon the face of his Saviour. You know, also that day there were men who were religious, who had the Word of God in their very hands, and yet they refused to see. They refused to believe. And this evening I just want to consider for a few minutes, none so blind as those who will not see. There's none so blind as those who will not see. I'm sure you've met many a person, and there's been many a debate come up, and you've reasoned and argued the truth, and yet it's as if they do not see. It's as if you would like to take them by this lapel and shake them. Do you not see? Do you not understand what I'm trying to say? These Philistines, none so blind as those who will not see. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to believe it. This evening I just want to consider for a few moments. There was a miracle in this blind man's life. But conversely, I look at those who had religion, and yet they refused to see who Christ was and to see what he did. The first thing I want you to notice about these Pharisees, they were blind to who Christ was. What do you think this evening of Christ? Man, woman, boy or girl, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Or are you blind to who he was? You see, these Pharisees, they refused. They were adamant. They would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They refused to accept who Christ was. He had come from God. And yet these men refused to accept who Christ was. Jesus Christ, he came from God to do the work of God. And yet they refused the Lord Jesus Christ. They refused to accept that Jesus Christ was God, that he was God in flesh, incarnate, and they would not accept who Christ was. This evening, who do you think Christ was? Do you know him to be the God-man, God and man? Two distinct natures, yet one person forever. God was a mediator, or Christ was a mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And yet these Pharisees were blind to the truth of who the Saviour was. Do you know the sad thing? These men weren't in ignorance. These men couldn't have an excuse like the heathen and say, we didn't know. Do you know this young person, older person, sitting in a Free Presbyterian church and not saved? You have no excuse either. You know who he is. You know what he came to do on the cross at Calvary. You're not in ignorance. Just like these religious Pharisees. Oh yes, you come to church. You may even quote the Bible and know the Bible inside out. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Saviour? These men refused to accept who Jesus was. They were blind, and they chose to be blind to who Jesus was. We come to this season of Christmas when we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of three wise men a couple of thousand years ago. They had travelled all the way from these wise men, and they come to Herod and they say, tell us, Herod, where is the King of the Jews? This Herod was troubled within himself. He wondered, who's this rival to my power, to my dominion, to my throne? Someone who's called the King of the Jews. Herod didn't know of anyone called King of the Jews. Do you know what he done? He called the religious leaders. He says, come, and he demanded them to come. Give me an answer. Who is the King of the Jews, and where will he be born? Do you know what they done? They turned to the Scriptures. They turned to the Scriptures, Micah. Where does the Scriptures tell us? In Bethlehem. Here were men who knew the Word of God. They knew where the Messiah would be born. Do you know what? They were blind to it all. Did any of them ever think of going to Bethlehem to find the King of the Jews? Not at all. They weren't interested in the Saviour born to save this and this world. They were blind to who Jesus was. And maybe you come religiously to this church every Sunday, and yet you, like those religious Pharisees, choose to be blind to who Jesus was. You won't take Christ as your own and personal Saviour. You're like those Jews in crucifixion day that said, away with him, I will not have this man rule over us. Is that your attitude to the Saviour? You want to choose your sin, you'll not take Christ, just let me go on in my own way. They were blind to who Jesus was. I think these chapters, John 8 and John 9, are connected. You see that word "and"? It's as if the Saviour had an argument with them about Abraham, and he just moved on past them. But again, these men are left without an excuse at the end of chapter 8. You see, there's argument over Abraham, and they say, the Saviour says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Do you remember the day up on the mount? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. I believe in that day he saw down the annals of time. He saw that God would become flesh and die on a cross at Calvary. He would provide himself a lamb. God, what profound words they are, that God would provide himself a lamb. Abraham rejoiced to see that day. And the Jews, they say, but sure, you're not even over 50. How could Abraham see your day? Then Jesus said these words. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, those Pharisees that day knew who Christ was. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, of a truth, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You see those words, I am? Maybe you think they're insignificant there in the Scriptures. See those words, I am, to a Pharisee? Do you know what those words meant? They testified of God. You see, they had Moses. And you'll read later on in the chapter, they had Moses. That was their prophet. Oh yes, we've got Moses. We don't know who this man is. We follow Moses. You see, when God called Moses, Moses said, who will I say is calling me? And God said, I am that I am. You see, I am, it's God, the great I am. And there that day the Saviour testified to who he was. I am. He's the great God, creator God. And yet these Pharisees refused to accept who Jesus was. Will you accept this evening who Jesus was? He's the great I Am. He's a miracle worker. He's the Son of God, came to die on the cross at Calvary. Or you choose to be blind to who Jesus was? Will you say, oh yes, he's a good man? Oh, many of the world will say, yes, Jesus is a good man as they look at his life. But they'll not say he's the God man. They'll not say that he was deity, that he was the Son of God. He's Jehovah. Do you know what Jehovah means? Self-existing one. Each one of us depends on God for our daily breath, for our life, for every heartbeat. We depend upon God. God is a self-existing one. He depends upon no other. This evening, who do you believe Christ to be? Is he the great I Am? Or is he to you just another man? In fact, the Pharisees called him a sinner. What words of condemnation hang above the Pharisees' head when they said that the Saviour was a sinner? And they were blind to who Jesus was. And yet God had come in the flesh, virgin born, that new creation, that second Adam. Do you remember God had taken dust from the ground, made Adam, breathed into him, and he became a living soul? I believe that's why the Lord Jesus Christ took clay that day. He put it in that man's eyes, and he was able to see. I believe he just demonstrated the creative act of God. He took that clay, he put it in his eyes, and that man could see. Even his actions testified that day who the Saviour was. He was the Son of God. He was God of very God. And that day, those Pharisees refused to believe who he was. This evening, who do you believe Jesus to be? The Saviour of all the world, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Oh, that you wouldn't be blind to the truth of Scripture, who Jesus Christ is. Not only were they blind to who Jesus was, these Pharisees were blind to what Jesus did. They refused to accept the miracle that Christ had performed. And do you know why they refused to accept it? The miracle that Jesus did, because he done it on the Sabbath. You see, these men were religious. Oh yes, they had the word of God, but they had over 600 man-made regulations. They had that many self-imposed rules. You weren't allowed to do a thing on the Sabbath day. And because the Lord Jesus Christ healed a blind man, they refused to accept what Jesus did. He couldn't be God if he broke their man-made regulations. Do you know what? This man explained to him that once I was blind and now I see. And yet when he tells him the story that I was blind, I couldn't see, they still refused to accept who Jesus was. They still refused to accept what Jesus did. They called him, tell us again what happened. He says, a man called Jesus, he took clay, he anointed my eyes, and now I can see. They refused to accept what Jesus did. You see, it didn't fit in with their thinking. And you know, sinner, the things of God will not fit in with your thinking, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. You'll not understand them. We need the Spirit of God to come and open your eyes to the beauty of Christ and what he did. And these men were blind. They refused to accept what Jesus did. They questioned him a second time. Tell us it again. Nearly like detectives. Tell us that version of events again. Let's hear your story again. Looking for any chink in his armour to try and prove what he had said was untrue. Can you see these inquisitive, curious men? And they still refused to accept what Jesus did. They finally decide to ask his parents, come and tell us. You know this, there's a fear in their heart of what the Jews might do to them. They might throw them out of the temple. And they says, our son's told you the story. Will you listen to him? You know this, they eventually accept what Christ has done. They eventually accept there's a miracle that has happened. Do you know what? They're still dismissive of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to say and admit that this man was blind, but now he sees. But as for Christ, he's still a sinner. Oh, they've no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you unsaved, you've saw a miracle in your friends and in your family. You've saw men and women who've been saved by the grace of God. And you have to admit there's a change. But you want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let me go on as it was. I've got my own way. I've no time for Christ. And yet you have to admit there's a miracle that's happened in that person's life. A miracle has happened in this blind man's life, and yet they still have no time for the Saviour. And you saw miracles of grace around you, and you still have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're blind to what Christ did. Do you know what he did? He went to the cross at Calvary to shed his precious blood. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you think that wouldn't ring with the Pharisees? These were Pharisees who kept the law of God perfectly. They had their sacrifices, their religion, they had it all. They had their daily sacrifices. They took that spotless lamb. They would have shed its precious, its blood there in the temple. And do you know what it pointed to? It was a picture of Christ. And John says, look, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And Scripture records for us that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to keep the law of God, but he came to die on a cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood for sinners that they might be saved. You see, there's only one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to come and trust Christ. You're to look to Christ and live. And yet you hear the story of the cross. You hear that Christ died on the cross, that he conquered the works of Satan, that he was buried. He conquered death. He rose again. He's ascended. And this same Jesus is coming again. And yet you, like those Pharisees, refuse to accept what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. You're blind to what Christ did on the cross at Calvary. Oh, that the Spirit of God would open your eyes, that you would see Christ as that once for all sacrifice for sin on the cross at Calvary. You're just typical of these Pharisees, blind to what Jesus did. Oh, that the Spirit of God would come and that you would see Christ as if you've never seen him before, dying in your room and in your stead, that you might be saved, that you might have peace with God. They were blind to who Jesus was. They were blind to what Jesus did. And thirdly, they were blind to their own sinfulness. The last verse there, and some of the Pharisees which were with him, verse 40, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. They were blind to their own sinfulness. Oh yes, physically they could see, but spiritually they couldn't see their own sinfulness. Is that you this night? Blind to your own sinfulness? You see, man, natural man, he sees nothing wrong with his own ways. Natural man, he sees everything that he does to be right. He never sees his own sinfulness. And unless the Spirit of God comes and takes the scales from off your eyes, you'll never see your own sinfulness. You'll never see how you stand before a thrice holy God. Here were men who were blind to their own sinfulness. Do you remember the Pharisee who came up to pray and the publican? The publican says, be merciful, for I'm a sinful man. Do you know what the Pharisee said? I thank God I'm not like these other men, as other men are. Do you know what? He couldn't see his own sinfulness. The Pharisee couldn't see his own sinfulness. This evening, are you blind to your own sinfulness? Maybe you say, I've got my baptism. I attend church religiously. I've been confirmed, catechized, whatever it may be, on the church roll, whatever. And yet you're blind to your own sinfulness. And yet the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe you're going to say, I've my own way. I've my own way to heaven. You see, if your own way excludes Christ, you'll never be in heaven. If you carry on that way, you'll end up in hell. I think of a blind man. See that blind man in John 9? He could never see danger. He could walk towards a precipice. Do you know what? He was ignorant that the precipice was there. And he could perish and walk over the edge, and he would perish. Sinner, blind to your own sinfulness, you're heading towards a precipice. At the edge of that precipice is a drop, and it's a drop out into God's eternity forever. And if you go there unsaved, plunge over that precipice, you'll be in hell forever. Do you know your danger? Would you awake to your danger? Oh, that you would see your own sinfulness, how you stand before a holy God, that the wrath of God is above your head. Think of the guillotine. A man lies, puts his head on the block, as they call it. Do you know what? The knife just falls and decapitates a person. That's it. It's over. And maybe there's a person here tonight still in their sin, and the guillotine of God's wrath hangs over your head. Oh, that you wouldn't be blind any longer, that you would see your sinfulness and how you stand before a holy God. You see, a man's ways are right in his own eyes. Oh yes, you think every way that you think is right. If you're trying to get to heaven any other way than through Christ, you're going the wrong way. There only is one way, and Jesus is that way. Oh, that you would see the love of God. The love of God there at Calvary. He had a love, John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see the great plan of God's redemption to save sinners? That Christ would die on a cross. Christ, the God-man. He would come to die on the cross, and he would die for sinners there on the cross at Calvary. Oh, that you wouldn't be blind to who Christ was, that you wouldn't be blind to what Christ did, and that you wouldn't be blind to your own sinfulness, and carry on in life and fall over that precipice of time into eternity and go to hell forever. There's a remedy. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit of God. We need a miracle to come, take the scales of your eyes, that you might see Christ. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you accept him or reject him? The scripture says, and I just read it to the back, the time is short. Prepare to meet thy God. We're coming close to the end of another year. Could it be that maybe someone here might never see it? I visited, or was over in Bridlington there just a couple of weeks ago. I talked to a woman in the church. Her husband a few weeks ago passed into God's eternity. About 2 weeks before that, he was sitting one Sunday afternoon round the dinner table with one of the visiting ministers. And he said, I wonder who'll be next. Little did he know that it was words, prophetic words. In 2 weeks' time, that he would be carried to the grave. Yes, he was saved, but we don't know what tomorrow will hold. Unsaved, prepare to meet God. Do it now. Now is the accepted time. There's none so blind as those who will not see. Oh, that you would see Christ, who he is, what he has done, and that you would take him as your own and personal Saviour. Amen. We'll turn in our hymn books, please. 230. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Heavenly Father, oh God, that there would be people that would be in time. Oh God, we pray that Thou wouldst work in their hearts. Oh God, that Thy Spirit would give the deciding grace. We realize, oh God, that my spirit shall not always strive with man. No God, we pray that Thou wouldst bring the hush of eternity upon. Oh God, that men and women would, boys and girls would consider how they stand with God. O God, we pray that Thou wouldst work in their hearts. O God, bring them face to face with the Holy God and His holy law. O God, that they would throw down their puny arms of rebellion. O God, that they would take Christ. O God, we realize and see there's none so blind as those who will not see. How those Pharisees went on in their religion and refused Christ. O God, we pray that they would see. Men and women would see who Christ was, what He has done on the cross at Calvary. Thank You, Lord, that He became our ransom, a ransom for many. Oh God, we pray that there would even be rejoicing in the presence of angels over men and women and boys and girls being saved. May there be pangs of new birth even in our land this evening. We pray, Lord, now that Thou wouldst take each one to their homes in safety. Give them journey and mercies in the road. Oh God, we pray that Thou wouldst give us even opportunities to live for Thee in the week that lies ahead. O God, that we'll be good ambassadors for our Saviour. Strive on with the unsaved. O build up Thy people, O God, we pray. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain and abide upon Thy people. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen.